All right, I want you to take your Bible. Now, this is going to sound strange to you, but I want you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. All right, I know for the last 50 years I've said turn to the book of Acts, but we're going to look at a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight. All right, let's begin reading back at verse 15. Verse 15, we'll read down to the end of the chapter. In verse 15, Paul writes to the Corinthian church a second epistle, and he says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now here's the verse that I want to bring the message from. So listen very carefully to the wording here. Paul, this is a masterful verse. I'm telling you, it is just absolutely amazing. And so look at it. For our light affliction. Now, our light affliction. You say, "Well, Pastor, what I'm going through is not a light affliction." Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Let's read on. For our light affliction, which is but for a, man, I'm so tempted to say, what's the next word? Moment. Exactly right. Thank you, Pastor Ray. Thank you. These guys, three of them are here tonight too, so I won't have to preach to the balloon that is situated in the middle of the auditorium there. All right, so our light affliction, and then Paul says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What a verse that is. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. All right, now I want you to notice something here. Look at the third word in that verse. For our light affliction. And then go down and look at the last phrase of the verse. It says, for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So we have a contrast here. Do you see that contrast? We have here, now, and now. We have afflictions, but Paul said that our afflictions are light afflictions. But we have to look forward to being in heaven one of these days. And all of our affliction down here, as light as it is, Paul says, is nothing when compared with the weight, the eternal weight, that a blessing that is going to be ours when we get to heaven. All right, so look at verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. All right, so let me read it this way. Look at your Bible, look at verse 18. While we look not at the things now in the physical, but at the things which we're going to, the unseen heaven. All right, so there's the contrast. Now and eternal. All right, today and eternity. And so Paul says, for the things which are seen, are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All right, I want to use that 17th verse primarily, and I want to share with you tonight. We're going to do a little Bible study tonight on how to see the trials of life, how to view the trials of life. All right, let's pray together and then the message. Our Father, thank you now so much for the privilege we have to open the Word of God. And I pray that you will bless what I'm about to say. I pray you'll help us, Father, to focus our attention and just give our undivided attention to the Word of God for the next few minutes. I pray that what is said will be an encouragement and a blessing to our people, and that, Lord, we'll be just challenged to lay up treasures in heaven. Things here on the earth, they're going to vanish away. They're going to leave. They're going to dissolve. But what we lay up in heaven is eternal. And Father, we'll enjoy that for the rest of eternity. So I pray you'll bless this thought and help us tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, the Apostle Paul here gives us a wonderful method of how to have a proper perspective of the trials and the troubles and the afflictions that we have to deal with in this life. I had a lady here in our church several years ago, and she got saved. And I can't remember right now just where she got saved, but I do remember that I led her to the Lord. Don't remember all the circumstances around it, but I do remember that I led her to the Lord. But I can't remember where or why I ended up running into her and giving her the gospel. But anyway, she got saved, and she came in about a month after she got saved, and she said, Pastor, I thought once that I got saved, all my troubles were going to be over. I just thought, wow, now that I'm a child of God, everything's going to be resolved. I'm going to be rid of all my trials and troubles. And she did have a very troubled life. And so just right back here, I tried to help her deal with her trials. But in just a matter of a few weeks, she stumbled beneath the weight of all those trials, and she just vanished. I have not seen her now in over 20 years. She was doing so well for about a month and a half, 2 months, something like that. And then all of a sudden, she fell beneath the load that she had to carry. And I don't know how many times that scenario has played itself out, not only in our church, but in churches everywhere. So often we struggle with many aspects of facing trials in our lives. It's often hard to figure why they have to come upon us. That's the question that so many people ask. Why does it have to happen to me? Why do I have to have all these troubles? And there are a lot of folks, a lot of Christians, who find themselves with the juniper tree blues. That's what Elijah had, you'll remember. And Elijah was running from Jezebel. It's really interesting. He could stand against 450 prophets of Baal, but when one little wicked woman got after him, that caused him to run to the hills as fast as his little legs would carry him. And he was pouting underneath that tree. He was fussing at God underneath that juniper tree, feeling sorry for himself, and no doubt asking the same question that multitudes of us ask when we have to face a trial. Why me? Why me? Now, I know that none of us have ever gotten a little long-faced like Elijah did, and none of us have ever looked up to heaven with a broken heart and said to the Lord, why me? I know none of us have ever done that. But a lot of folks have truly wrestled with the Lord because they just cannot believe that the Lord would allow them to have to go through a trial. And then I started thinking, you know, as difficult as it is for us to figure out why we are having trials in our lives, it is doubly difficult to figure out how to react to those trials. How do we react when the trials come? So what we need to realize here tonight, what I want to show you here tonight, is that the Bible, God's holy word, helps us more than anything else to get a proper perspective of our trials and our troubles. This 17th verse chapter 4 is one that will help us have a right perspective on the trials we have to face. We are certainly dealing right now with a difficult time, a trying time in our lives. We are dealing with so many unknowns that are connected to this virus, so many uncertainties. And I can only imagine that many of God's people are wondering, what in the world are we going to do? I think this 17th verse can help us to get a proper perspective on what we are all facing at this time. Now, there are three things that I want to show you from this 17th verse. First of all, I want you to focus on the burden of the trial, the burden of our trials. That burden can be seen in the first phrase of this verse, where Paul says, for our light affliction. You see, folks, in the grand scheme of things, our trials are really small. In the grand scheme of things, in the light of eternity, our trials here in this life are really small. But at the time that we're facing them, they don't seem like they're very small, do they? As a matter of fact, they seem like they are absolutely huge. And when we are going through the trial, when we're right in the midst of it, our trials seem to us to be massive. And they certainly put a great deal of burden upon us. But notice here that Paul puts everything in the light of eternity. Everything that he's going to discuss here about our burdens is viewed in the light of eternity. And Paul says that in the light of eternity, any affliction that you and I have to face down here takes on a new light and a new definition. In the light of eternity, Paul said that our afflictions are light. Now, isn't that interesting? Because we've studied and we're in the middle of studying right now on Wednesday nights the book of Acts, and we are looking primarily now at the ministry and the life of the Apostle Paul. And Paul says that all the things, and you know all those things, I mean, mercy, what that man had to face, none of us have ever had to go through any of that. But Paul says all those things that he had to face are but light afflictions. When you were a child, did you ever go to stay with your grandparents or maybe with an aunt, an aunt or an uncle or a cousin, and you were separated for a week or for several days from your parents? And after the first couple of days, you know, it was all fun, it was all new, but then you started to realize just how much you missed your parents. But then finally, the day came when your parents came to get you, and you were so relieved when you saw the car pull up. You were so happy, so excited, and you ran off the porch and ran down the sidewalk and jumped into your mother's arms and then hugged your dad. You were so excited to see them, and the joy and the comfort that you felt in your heart just to be back home with mom and dad was inexplainable. And Paul says to us now in this verse, listen, Christian, once you get to heaven, once you enter into eternity, you're going to realize that being in that glorious place, just being there in the presence of the Lord Jesus, sitting upon the throne of God in heaven, that every moment of trial down here that you had to face was just, it's nothing compared to the glory of what you're going to enjoy when you get to be with the Lord. All right, now that look at that word light. All right, that's a very important word in this verse. For our light, and that means not heavy. All right, it's light. All right, this iPhone is light. This pulpit is heavy. It takes two or three to carry this pulpit. It's solid oak. But this iPhone is light. I can hold it in my hand all day and it's not a problem. It's a light phone. All right, so Paul says that our afflictions are that. They are light. And the word light is surprising when you think about the Apostle Paul and some of the heavy trials that he had to face. Now, we've already studied some of them in the book of Acts. We have already seen the number of times that Paul was persecuted and where he was beaten. And you'll remember that one time he was even stoned and left for dead on the side of the road. In chapter 27 of the book of Acts, we will get there one of these days if a rapture doesn't happen. But in chapter 27, we read how the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked and how he spent time out in the Mediterranean Sea, just floating and bobbing on a piece of wood. In chapter 16, just a couple of weeks ago, we studied how Paul was put into jail at Philippi for simply preaching the gospel. And then in chapter 14, we saw where the men of Lystra stoned the apostle, left him dead on the side of the road. Now, you know, folks, that had to hurt. I mean, he went through that. Under the weight of all those stones, and I described for you how they did a stoning. They didn't take pebbles and lob pebbles at them, but they put them in a ditch or they put them in a hole And then they took great big boulders as big as they could carry, held them over their heads and just dropped them down upon the person being stoned. And so you know that had to hurt. And not only did it have to hurt, you know that that had to absolutely just wreck the Apostle Paul's physical condition. Josephus said in his history book that that he saw and heard the Apostle Paul preach. And he said that Paul was just this little short guy who was all hunched over and couldn't even hold his head up to see where he was, who he was talking to. And he was so short that he walked around with his head down and everybody would look down on the top of his head. It was strange to see a man in that condition. Well, that's how, no doubt, those boulders left the Apostle Paul, with a physical condition. I remember when I was 18 years of old, years of age, we were in a car. My brother and I were in a car with the youth pastor of our church, and we were going over to the fair at St. Albans, and we're going to pass out tracts and try to win people to the Lord. And as we came up this mountain, I thought that Pastor Gary was going a little fast. I didn't say anything. I probably should have, but I thought he was going a little bit fast. I had gone over that mountain umpteen times. I knew that mountain. And he went up and over that mountain, and when he got on the other side, all of a sudden, he yells, "I can't!" And the car swerved and he turned it into the ditch, and that hill was like that. It was straight down. And if we had gone off the left-hand side, I would not be here tonight. There's no way we could have survived that. But he turned that car doing about 55 miles an hour up that hill, and he turned it, hit into the bank, and a car began to flip, and it flipped three times. The windows were down. We didn't have air conditioning. The windows were down, and I was riding in the passenger front seat. My brother was in the back seat, and this was back in the day when you did not wear seat belts, even though my mother said, always wear a seat belt. Well, I don't know. We just didn't. And so when that car began to flip, I remember Gary, Pastor Gary, falling over and grabbing me by the leg to hold on to me. And that car is flipping in the air. Looked like a NASCAR race gone wrong. All right. And when the thing flipped three times, finally, at the third flip, when it landed on the hood, but somewhere in that, when we crawled out of the car, I felt pain in my right fingers. And I looked down at my fingers, and this ring finger was smashed and totally broken. I mean, totally broken at the knuckle. And I popped it back into place. That felt wonderful, by the way. And I popped it back into place. Now, you know, I don't know why, but, you know, guys can be dumb. And I said, they said, "Do you want to go to the hospital?" "Nah, I'm good." And so the paramedics said, "I really think you ought to go get that set." And I said, "Nah, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. We're going over to the fair to try and win folks to the Lord." And so the one guy said, "Well, let me put a splint on it." So he taped a splint to it, and it took forever for that thing to heal. And it was so sensitive for the longest time. But now, you know, 100 years later, I was 18 when it happened. But now I have trouble with this hand. I have I got an MRI on it, and Dr. Abel told me that there was rock and bone chips and everything else in all three of these fingers. And he said, "Does it bother you?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, the day may come when we have to go in there and see what we can do." And so I was just thinking, you know, if I'd have had that done when I was 18, I wouldn't be having these troubles today. So can you imagine what Paul went through? That man went through just an absolute torture every time he went into a city. Hold your place here in chapter 4 and look over at chapter 11 for just a moment. And let me read you a couple of verses as Paul was testifying about all the things that happened to him. Look at verse 23 of chapter 11. He asked, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes," that means getting whipped, getting beaten to where you get a stripe on your back, "in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. So how many times did the Apostle Paul actually die? We don't know. But he says, "in deaths often. Of the Jews, from the Jews, five times," he says, "of the Jews," meaning from the Jews, "five times he received 40 stripes, save one." Now, you know what that means? The Jews said, "Oh, we can't give you 40 lashes. It'd kill you." So they, out of mercy, only gave you 39. Oh, what sweet people. And so 40 stripes, save one. Three times, thrice, was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in the deep water of the Mediterranean. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, and in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and in perils among the false brethren. Now, are you getting this? Paul is describing all the things, all the trials that he had to endure in his ministry. And I want you to notice in chapter 4, verse 17, our text, Paul says that all of those things that I just read to you are light affliction. Light affliction. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I dare say that not a single one of us has ever had anything close happen to us like what happened to the Apostle Paul. And yet, here in our text, Paul speaks of the light afflictions. He certainly had an eternal perspective, and as such, encourages us to view our trials and our troubles in the same light. You say, "But Pastor, you just don't know what I'm going through." No, I don't. But wait a minute. You're going to heaven one day to see Jesus. Now, don't forget that. I mean, one of these days, you're going to go to heaven, and when the Lord comes at the rapture, if you're still here, you're going to go up. If you're in heaven, you're going to get the blessing of a new body, and we're going to get rid of these old sin-cursed things that we have now. I mean, think about it. When you get to heaven, you're going to have your own mansion. When you get to heaven, you get to come back with the Lord Jesus at his second coming, at his return, and you get to fight the enemies of the Lord. You get to rule and reign with Jesus for 1,000 years during the millennium. So in that, in view of all of that, your troubles and mine are just light afflictions. That's what Paul is saying. And that's the burden. Now, secondly, now you got to listen to this now, and I'll explain it right here at the beginning. I'm going to explain it. But number two, I want you to focus on the betimes of our trial. You say, what? I say, we need to focus on the betimes of our trial. Now, folks, realize this. I have never used the word betimes in my entire life. I mean, you would get beat up for saying that where I came from. All right? Somebody would literally beat you up for saying the word betimes. But here's what happened. As I was preparing this, I needed a B word. All right? I had the word burden. And I had the word blessing. And I could not think of a B word for the point that I want to make right now. So I reached behind me and I got my Roget's Thesaurus down and I looked up the word quick. Quick. All right, look at your Bible. Look at your Bible in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's quick. I looked up the word quick, and it showed me, of all words, betimes. B-E-T-I-M-E-S. And when I say the betimes, I mean that our trials and our troubles in light of eternity go by very quickly. Notice what Paul says about our trials. He said they are for a moment. And the only way you can say your trial is for a moment is to compare it with eternity. The only way you can say that that your trial was quick for a moment is to compare it with eternity. Now listen, I know that our trials sometimes seem like they go on forever. But compared to eternity, they are but a tiny drop in the bucket of time. And they go by very fast. Betimes. They go by very fast. But think for a moment about what Paul faced in his life. You see, Paul's trials seem to be, as we are learning on Wednesday nights, Paul's trials seem to be just one affliction after another. I mean, they just go on and on and on. There's no break. There's no relief. Every time you go from one chapter to the other chapter, you see nothing but trial and tribulation and persecution come to that man and his ministry. So Paul obviously, now think with me now, he obviously had something in mind other than viewing this present life in terms of time. All right? You see, what I'm saying is, when Paul wrote this verse, whether he was talking about the burden or whether he's talking about, number two, the betimes. When Paul wrote this verse, I submit to you that he had eternity in his mind. Folks, listen, we so often live our lives as if this world is all there is. I mean, when a trial comes upon us, we lose all focus. We just look at the trial we're in, and we try to find somebody that will be sympathetic to what we're facing. And we pout and we murmur. And but listen, that trial that you're facing, listen, this world is not all there is. That trial is not all there is. James said, "What is your life?" And then he went on to say in chapter 4, verse 14 of the book of James, he said, "It is even a vapor which appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth," vanisheth away. So let's think about the eternal. The eternal versus the temporal. Let's think about that. Let's think about heaven versus now. If we lived our lives here with the eternal in view, if we lived our lives here with the sweet by and by in mind instead of the nasty now and now, we would be so much more at peace. In Matthew 5, 6, and 7, we have the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount, I've said to you many times, is that's the constitution of the kingdom of God. It's the bylaws for the kingdom of God. It's how you and I are to live now in light of that day when we will enter into the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. Now, in Matthew 6, and just hold your place here in 2 Corinthians and go back to Matthew chapter 6 for just a moment. And I want to read to you what the Lord Jesus said about how quickly our lives are, just how fast they go by. Verse 25 of Matthew 6, he said, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" You know, somebody needs to tell the Kardashians that, don't they? Life is more than just what you look like and what you wear. All right? Then in verse 26, he said, "Behold, the birds, the fowls of the air, for they sow not." Now, tomorrow's the first day of spring, I think. That's what I heard. And springtime's when you plant. And you're never going to see a field full of starlings plowing up a field, plowing up a garden spot. You're never going to see that. "The fowls don't sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Well, of course. Of course. Look at verse 28. "And why take ye thought for raiment, for your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these." And here's the point, folks. Look at verse 33 and 34. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." That's now. Now. Seek the kingdom. Now. And his righteousness. Now. All right? Don't worry about the world and how it sees you and what it thinks of you. I mean, you are to be concerned about the kingdom, about eternity that's coming. You are to be concerned about his righteousness. And Jesus said, if you are, then all these things will be added unto you. Now watch. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we read very clearly that the Lord Jesus is saying, don't be so consumed with life here and now. Live your life here and now with eternity in view. And folks, that is excellent advice. You say, but Pastor, this virus could kill me or somebody in my family. Well, you're going to heaven. I mean, get excited about that. You trust the Lord now, here, and live trusting the Lord, and let the Lord. Folks, listen, is God not in complete control of everything? Yes. He most certainly is. So just trust him. He will provide what you and I need. That is just excellent advice from our Savior. And then number three, I want you to focus on the blessings of our trials. So what are the blessings of our trials? We saw the burden, we saw the betimes, but now thirdly, I want you to see the blessings of our trials. Look at the last part of the verse. The last part of the verse, Paul says that our trials, our difficulties, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. This phrase speaks to us of the reward from the trial. What we have to go through down here in the nasty now and now, Paul says, is nothing in comparison to what we're going to receive when we get to heaven. Realize that our trials, listen to me now, think, realize that our trials will bring us reward from the Lord. Our faith is strengthened when we trust the Lord through the trial. Our faith is made strong. You know, we often rebel and protest against the trials that we have to face. Nobody wants to have to face a trial in their life. Nobody wants to their lives to be interrupted by something that will cause us undue stress or difficulty. But realize, folks, our trials will bring us reward from the Lord. As a matter of fact, I think many of life's trials that we have to go through are often permitted by the Lord in order for us to receive extra blessings. Afflictions do bring us great blessings. And notice the blessings are interestingly described. Look at your verse. They're interestingly described as an eternal weight of glory. Now look at your verse, folks. That last phrase right there is the opposite. Watch. It's the opposite. What is Paul referring to here when he says an eternal weight of glory? We often call heaven glory, don't we? We say, yeah, one of these days we're going to be raptured up to glory. What do we mean? We're going to heaven. So Paul is talking in the last part of this about heaven, about eternity, and about glory. And so notice here that what he says in the last part of this verse is the opposite of how the afflictions were described. Remember that Paul said of the burden of our trials that they were our light affliction. But now he says that the blessings of the trial down here will be for us in heaven an eternal weight. Weight is the opposite of something light. Something weighted is the opposite of something light. So we have too much of a now perspective, and we let the trials that we have to face get us down and cause us to look at ourselves instead of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And the next thing you know, we're discouraged from every possible angle. So folks, instead of focusing on our light afflictions now, just keep your eyes on the eternal weight of glory that is coming our way. Now, as I wrap this thought up, let me give you another way to look at this verse that I think you'll find encouraging. First, we're going to use D words this time. First, difficulty. The difficulty of the affliction was trivial. It was light compared to the blessings which are said to be heavy, weighty. Second, duration. The time of our affliction here is but for a moment. And that's compared to the time of the blessings. And the time of the blessings is eternal. What we have to go through down here, that's temporary. That's temporal. It's not going to last. But what we are going to get in heaven, that is for eternity. And then difficulties, duration, then thirdly, dividends. The experience was grievous, Paul said, affliction. It was grievous, but the dividends were glorious. The dividends were glory. And this is how we ought to look at life's trials. Now, folks, I know I've been hearing it all week long and most of last week, but I've been hearing how folks are nervous. They're filled with anxiety. They're afraid of what's coming. Well, I don't know what's coming. I can't help you there. But I can help you with this. This affliction is going to pass away. And so what you and I need to do is not worry about the affliction, but we need to trust our God, that our God knows what we're dealing with. You just look to the Lord and you let the Lord give you the strength and trust the Lord that He'll keep you healthy during this plague. May God help us. Folks, keep your chins up. All right? Don't get weary in well-doing. I had a text message today, and the text message was, Pastor, is this the prelude to the rapture? And I said, my dear friend, everything is the prelude to the rapture. And it is. All this is prelude to the rapture. You go to Matthew 24 and you'll read about it. The Lord said in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be earthquakes. We had an earthquake in Salt Lake City today. Knocked that angel with the trumpet in his hands down out there on the temple. You know what I'm talking about? Knocked that thing down. Amen. And then the Lord said, pestilences. And that's what this is. This is a pestilence. I don't know about you, but it's a pest to me. Because I'm here on Wednesday night, and you're not. And I miss you. All right, so God bless you. There'll be no visitation tomorrow night. And you just be in prayer for our country and for our people and for us. Pray that we stay healthy. Karen was talking to her dad last night, and they were talking about how this virus can affect the elderly. And it hit Karen. It hit her. She's right there, I know. But it hit her. And she said to her dad, "Dad, 65 and older, wait a minute. We're elderly now. We're elderly." And she said, "Well, not so much me, but Norris is elderly. He's 65. So she weaseled herself out of it. But isn't that something? Pray the Lord to keep us healthy. All right? I'm looking at three men here. Rick Holbrook, Ray Shutt, and John Campbell. And then there's myself. And we all have pre-existing conditions. So you pray the Lord will keep us healthy. And then there's Pastor Todd. And then there's Pastor Josh. Come think of it, we're just a sickly bunch, aren't we? But let's pray for the Lord to keep his hand, especially on our church family. All right, let's close in prayer. And you have a good night. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray now you'll bless this to our hearts. Help us to see the burden. And the burden is really a light affliction. When you look at our burden in contrast to eternity, it's a light affliction. Help us to see the betimes. Help us to see how quickly all this is going to be over. Father, everything here is just temporal. It will not last. But Father, when we compare here to heaven, oh my, that's going to last forever. And so thank you for that. And then Father, thank you that we can find blessing in the trial, knowing that the trial is laying up treasures for us in heaven based on how we deal with it. So, Father, help us to trust you. And may the Lord Jesus be lifted up in every heart. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In the Lord Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.